Well, for those of you that wonder why there's a crazy lady on stage dressed like a Christmas tree, I'm Miss Tarina, and I'm the children's director here at Hillcrest. And we have a wonderful tradition. Come on up, sweetheart. Come on up. We have a wonderful tradition on Fifth Sundays to do something a little different and unique. I was born and raised in a Baptist church. My dad is a pastor, and I had to sit in the front row, which even as a mother who is now raising pastor's children, I still don't like the front row, but there I sit. That's very traumatizing, and I plan to traumatize my children the same way successfully. What was most memorable for me as a child was the importance of taking communion and seeing baptisms with my mom. So a couple years back, Pastor Doug and Pastor Brian and I decided we would make Fifth Sundays a tradition. And we wanted to bring the kiddos down to Big Church so that they can sit with you in service. They need to see us worship together as grown-ups. They need to see us tithe in the as the plates get passed, and that it gives them conversation about how we give to God first, and then we worry about our needs, because God's always meeting our needs before we even know that they need to be met. They need to see that spiritual discipline in your life so that they have it modeled in their lives so that they can be these same grown-ups worshiping someday with their children. And communion and baptism is also very important. Our children will not know the importance of baptism or even what it means if they don't get to see it and witness it. And we get to be here to congratulate our friends and watch them take such an important step. And I'm very proud of you boys for doing that. And we had that again at 9 a.m. And then communion at the end. I just want to say that when we take communion together, it's something you get to decide as the grown-up and the parent when your child is ready. But I remember my mom, since my dad was the one doing the communion, it was an important moment where she would lean into my sister and I. My brother came many, many years later. And she would be praying with us as the bread got passed and as the cup got passed. So that's a teachable moment that you have that we kind of are gifting to you on this Fifth Sunday tradition. So I hold it with great honor and privilege that then in return, I get to bring the message to you this morning. So of course it's for the kiddos, but I think we'll challenge our grown-ups too, okay? Obviously, I am dressed like a Christmas tree. And I got to tell you, this time of year for me as a music teacher, getting close to your musical time, my creative juices are like, not there. But thankfully, Miss Helen and Miss Mariah sent me some Pinterest, and I was able to whittle up a little Christmas tree and light myself up because I can't do a sermon without a costume. It's just how I roll. I have to give you a real-life example. There are many, 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 many things that you see at Christmas time, but everything kind of is the focal point to the Christmas tree. I bet it's one of the first things you put up this holiday season. It's very universal, as in all over our world. We know what a Christmas tree is. It's something that you put lots of stuff on, but I want to bring even more special meaning to it. When you do leave this morning for your take-home, not only do you get a Christmas tree brownie, because I'm thematic, but I picked this Bible verse, and it comes from Psalms 103. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word. Now, there are many, many Bible verses about trees. There's some really neat ones about growth and life and all the things that they mean. I picked kind of a crazy one out of Psalms because the word statutes means principles. And when we get all done decorating our tree today and trying to give a better, bigger, deeper meaning to why we decorate and what we put on there, we always end with what? What's at the bottom? Presents. We start with the star. Yep, you'll help me do that in a minute. But we end with the presents. So you're going to take this holiday heart survey home when we're all finished. And I want to point out with these Bible verses, like with Psalm 103, you're making a gift list. But what if we asked for something that God could give us? And that we are trying to deepen our faith, things that you can't get at the mall. Like in John, there's better than anything that you could buy to fill your stockings. You'll find that in John. Or anything that you could add to your list, you're going to find out of 2 Corinthians and James. Or the values that God wants to give us cost less than what we maybe put on our original list, and that's out of Galatians. So I want you to think about all these different ways that we could add to our list to deepen our faith. But I love history. And I think it's kind of fun to know why we even have a Christmas tree. So look at my tree here. It can date back further than you can even comprehend, centuries and centuries and centuries ago, that even in German prop plays, they would use an evergreen tree, and they called December 24th Adam and Eve's Day. So this was represented as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But we know when we read in Genesis that it was an apple tree, right? Or you couldn't get the apple. But they used this as their prop play. And obviously, there's something special about why we have to use these evergreen trees, especially in Germany. Germany is very, very cold. Does anything change on my tree depending on the season? What does it stay? What color? Green. What if our Christmas tree was a maple or an ash? I know. Would there be anything left in this cold South Dakota winter? It would be a pretty boring tree. Let's go cut down our ash tree. Would there be anything on there right now? No. What happened to all the leaves? They fell off. What happened to our evergreen? It's there. It's forever green. You know, God did something amazing when he made our world. I believe in high scope. Come on in, honey. I believe in you create and you color what your brain imagines. I'm all for that, but I'm also a teacher. And I also want my students to know that God picked us a very colorful world. The sun is what?
Yellow.
Yellow. The water is?
Blue.
Oh, unless you're in the Dakota Lakes, but yep, blue. Supposed to be, but I don't think he really worked on the color scheme for the lake we're at. What about the grass? Should be
green.
And this tree is?
Green.
And it's called an?
Evergreen.
So when you color your Christmas tree, what color do you think you should use?
Green.
Green. I love teaching my students that it's the one tree that survives the hardy winters. It stays the same whether it's a hot summer day or a cold winter day. It's kind of a miraculous thing if you think about it. It was meant for any climate in our whole world. There's also some other old facts, like Martin Luther. We can turn to that one. He was a reformer, and he writes many of the things that we still read and sing today. And he was walking along on a wintry path, and he looked at an evergreen outside, like we'd have in our yard. And as he looked up, it was like a star had been placed on the top of this very large evergreen. And immediately it made his eyes think about baby Jesus and how there was a star over Bethlehem. And so we often put a star at the top of our tree. I've also taken my kids to many museums on vacation, kind of a nerd like that. But we've hit all the museums here in Sioux Falls, and we always go to the Pettigrew Museum. And that tree, if you were to go on a tour right now, they have a tree, one of the original trees that Pettigrew would have had. But before they had electricity, these are electric lights, very safe, right? We plug them in, they turn on. Do you know what they had to use to put light on their tree? Candles. What would we say about that? Dangerous. Yeah, I think many, many Christmases, they're like, man, now we don't have a house. Shoot, let's go get another tree. Thankfully, we've kind of, you know, moved along, and we don't have candles on our tree anymore because that would not be safe, would it? No, these are much safer lights. So we're going to decorate our tree today, and I would love for each of us to tell our neighbor, so tell your neighbor, a Christmas tradition that you have or something that you do special with your tree. Sometimes after a tree is decorated at their house, the kids get to sleep under it with the lights on. Anybody do that as a tradition? Well, I do. No one lets their kids sleep at the lit tree? Okay, well, I recommend it. It's really fun. It's safe. Electricity. It's great. Okay, man, we've got some poops out there. Should I give them some better ideas? How many of you have these lofty ideas that it's time to decorate? And you put on your really big, smiley mom and dad face. That was tricky. Don't do that, but I thought, oh, thank God was telling me something. If you wave some of my lights. Do you get in, all your decorations are out, and you're like, let's get together, let's decorate as a family, and you have your happy face. Show me your happy face. Does it stay that way the whole time? Oh, good, I thought it was just my house. I warned my kids yesterday that I was going to have a very vulnerable moment on stage because I started like this, let's decorate, and it ended with this, fine, go sledding, I'll do it by myself. And then the evening ended with love and grace and the elf movie and hot cocoa. We would call that a little bell curve. Starts off good, gets kind of ugly, ends in love and grace. Anyone feel comforted by my real life story? Oh, good. Just in case you think my house is all harmony, I really want you to know the truth because it's really important to say, it's not. But at least we ended, right? And I can make a joke of it. I was a little frustrated as a mom. But I want it to be fun. I want it to be memorable. And you have traditions, and those traditions ground you as a person. It grounds you in the good way, not grounded, grounds you in the good way that your parents love you and they want to do things with you. And as you learn these traditions, you're going to take them on to your family. So tell your neighbor a tradition that you have, something that's very valuable to you that maybe you did when you were a child and you've brought that and instilled it in your family. Seriously, turn to your neighbor, tell them something. Can you tell your neighbor something that you do? What's something you do when you decorate? Do you drink hot cocoa afterwards? Do you watch a movie? No traditions? Well, in case you don't have a tradition, I'm going to instill a few new ones. Honey, no, thank you. Oh, that's very dangerous. Put it down. Don't touch it again. No, away. Because that could, something could happen. Big boo-boo. All right. Well, I think rhymers are readers, so I have a poem for you today. And these are all things that you probably already have on your tree, but I want to give you a new way of thinking about it. When you look at our Sioux Falls community, there are trees everywhere. Have you seen the tree at the mall? Do you see trees at the stores? Do you see trees at church? Do you have a tree in your house? Are you about to get a tree in your house? Probably. No tree in your house? They're getting one. See, Mom says you're getting one. It's coming. Your happy moment's coming. You let me know how that goes. It'll be great. She's a mom of many. She gets it. One's happy, the other one's not. I know. But when we look at those trees, there's something very special when you look at the community trees. They're not empty. They are filled with needs. Not wants. Needs. You can go to the mall, and you can pick a special note, and it goes to Children's Home Society or Children's Inn. You can go to Lewis, and they have a tree for nursing homes where they just want bathrobes and slippers and a packet of cards so they can play. And immediately my heart gets twinges. If I had $1 million, I would really wrap up a lot of things because my heart gets tugged immediately, and sometimes I have to tell myself, there are many people in the world, and if everybody grabbed one, would all these needs be met? Yes. So I'm going to lay it on thick today, but you just have to remember, you just need to make the difference for one. But if we all make the difference for one, these trees will be empty. So I'm not telling you 10, not telling you to spend $1 million, but I am saying, how neat would it be if we walked up to every single tree and decided to think and pray about that person, use money, gifts, and tithes of our own to supply something for them so that they would have something. Now, with my own kiddos, as in my Hillcrest kiddos, I consider them my own children, we've done a couple things that are give of ourselves. We've already sung at a nursing home and played bingo with them. And that was really, really giving to their hearts, time and attention. I've already sent them off to do chores, and they brought back money. We did 30 shoeboxes as Hillcrest. Give a clap. And I laid it on thick to the kiddos that they were not to go home and say, I need money for church. Hand it over. The note was extremely specific, and they came back and told me how they did their chore, and they did an act of service in some way so that they could earn the money, and then they tithed it back so that we could go shopping for them. So we've already done quite a few things. And obviously Hillcrest does the angel tree, but you can go just about anywhere and see one. So we're going to decorate this tree and then think about how we start at the top and we work our way to the bottom, how we're going to be a gift to others this holiday season. Look at my beautiful Christmas tree with dazzling lights that twinkle at me. I hung all the ornaments up and down, twisted the garland around and around. Tall assistance, please. Yes, I could go on a stool, then you'd all laugh. So I'm just going to find a tall friend. My tree tells a story of long, long ago, from the star on the top to the presence below, when God in his mercy and wonderful love sent his Jesus from heaven above. Raise your hand if you put a star on top of your tree. An angel. A pretty bow because it's a decorative tree. Those are okay too. I have a pretty tree, and I have a traditional tree. Very good. Thank you, Pastor Doug. What is this? Angel. I bought big and gaudy so that everybody could see even to the far corners. See how big and gaudy my angel is? You can see it. My tree has angels with robes of white. For angels appeared on that Christmas night to tell the shepherds of Jesus' birth, glory to God and peace on earth. How important was the angel in this story? Did they appear just once or how many times? They appeared to Mary. No, thank you, honey. And to Joseph and to the shepherds. If the angel had not spoken to them, they would not know the miraculous, glorious thing that was about to happen. How about next? What is this a picture of? What would we call this? A stable or a manger. This is the manger Christ used for a bed, for he was born in a stable shed. When shepherds hurried to see where he lie, they found baby Jesus. Do you see this? And this one's really heavy, so I'm going to put it on the bottom. There was Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. What do you see at the very top? And who's over the manger? An angel. And it says peace on earth. The star on my tree, like the star in the sky, points to Jesus, our Lord from on high. A wise man traveled with gifts from afar who found baby Jesus under the star. When we see stars at night, we should think about baby Jesus. That was the brightest of lights. These are what? Bells that ring loud and clear to spread the good news so all can hear that Jesus was born our Savior and King. He's the reason we worship and sing. If baby Jesus had not come, would we be here today? Would we have these worship songs? Would we be celebrating Christmas? We wouldn't. We wouldn't even have a Christmas. What are these? The lights on my tree that shine in the night help me to see by making things bright, just like Jesus who shows the way to love one another, to trust and obey. The lights are very important because we use the light as an analogy a lot of times on our spiritual walk. Upstairs, I constantly pray that you would be lights and leaders where God has planted your feet. Right now, God has planted your feet as a child. You can be a light and a leader in your family. You can be a light and a leader in your classroom. You can be a light and a leader right here at church. He did not make a mistake by placing where you are today. There has to be something different about us than everybody else out there who does not believe in the Lord. We have to look different. We have to sound different, and we have to feel different. That's the beauty of taking Jesus into our heart as our Lord and Savior. He makes us feel loved, so loved. Our love can, his love for us does not change today from yesterday to tomorrow. You can do nothing to make his love better or bigger. He loves you that much right now, right where you are, just who you are. Nothing to prove. But that makes us shine brighter. Give me your big smiles. In your workplace, you need to shine brighter. You need to look different, feel different, and sound different if you want to have any hope with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your own family, that they're going to see the love of Jesus in your life. We have to be this bright light. So I want you to think of the lights on the Christmas tree, reminding that literally we are lighting up a room filled with love and grace. It's one of my most favorite things. Well, what is this? Were you kind of excited about that? Yeah. Anyone have presents under their tree yet?
No.
You know why?
Because it's not Christmas.
Oh, yep. I'm just going to sidestep that one. Almost forgot. We're talking to children. Anyone else going to infer? No? Well, I did. Okay, we're going to just talk about this present. The pretty presents are fun to share to show friends and family how much we care. They help us remember the blessing God sends as day after day, his love never ends. You can ask me later if you're a little confused. Where do the presents go?
Under the
tree. Yes. What does the cross remind us of?
Jesus
died on the cross. So we talk about his birth, and we need to think and reflect on his death and resurrection. My Christmas tree story is simple but true. For those who see him will find Jesus too. As you gather around your Christmas tree, remember Christ came for you and for me. Who did he die on the cross for?
Everybody.
For you and for you and for you. For what?
So
that we could go to heaven. Absolutely. That's one of my most privileged things about being your children's director, is that I know that I get to preach the gospel and the truth to you every day, all day. No, thank you, honey. That's bad for the cords. And that I get to see you someday in heaven because you've taken Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That gives me all the peace that I need, that I get to see you. And this one represents the angel tree, which is the tree that our church is supporting right now. When you take these, you are no longer thinking about your Christmas list, but the list that somebody else has. Like I said, some of them go to children that are in the hospital. Some go to older people that have nobody visiting them at the nursing home. These go to children that have no one to shop for them, but we get to be their blessing on behalf of their grown-up. We are a blessed, blessed generation. Do you have clothes on your back? Is your belly full-ish? I know, it's near lunch. But did you eat? Do you get to eat more? Do you get to worry about where you're going to eat? Did you sleep in a warm bed? Do you feel blessed? That's something we have to be so grateful for, so thankful for. May we never take the big or the little things for granted because we are a blessed, blessed community. And I would love for us to think outside ourselves and bless somebody else. Whether you see that tree at the mall or if you see one at the store, oh, if we stick our fingers in there, we could get electrocuted. Ooh. Thanks, honey. Anyway, When we think about the gifts, and when you go on your little treasure hunt of your scriptures, I would like us to think about something else that we could ask for Christmas. You can still ask for that latest toy or the Nerf gun. I've heard it done where you could ask for something you want, something you need, something you can wear, and something you can read. For my kiddos, they get three gifts to represent the three gifts that baby Jesus received that day. Do you remember what those were? Do you want gold, frankincense, or myrrh for Christmas? That's what my children get every year. Just kidding. No, but it gives me a start and a finish because our children are very blessed and they are very fortunate. And so if I start with three gifts and end with three gifts, then they are reminded that Jesus was blessed that day too. When we look, the next slide please. When we look at King David, he put something on his list that I bet none of us have ever done. And this is how passionately he felt about wanting to get to know God better. He said, "Oh God, you are my God and I earnestly seek you. My soul longs for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." We can't even understand the passion that David had, how much he wanted to feel and sense God's presence, that he was going through something in a dry and weary land. Sometimes we feel like that in our spiritual walk. We just feel kind of empty. That's when we have to pause. We should put on our Christmas list a deeper love and understanding and relationship with Jesus. We'll get all into the New Year's resolutions, but we should long and yearn every day that if your day feels a little off, it's because you didn't start in the Word or end in the Word. Or when you're driving or at school, you're not driving. Sorry, I'm talking to the parents now. When you're at school, because you're not driving, or you're in a car and you're bored, whatever, you need to talk to Jesus. He wants to hear you. You can talk in your head. You can talk out loud. You can pray before you go to sleep. But what if we added to our Christmas list things like, fill me with your love and grace. Allow me to think of somebody in my classroom that has nobody to play with. Let me think of the child that is really the most difficult to get along with. There may be a reason. I love there's a saying, the child, the friend that needs you the most may be the one who's asking for in the toughest way. May you think of those children in your class. May you think of your neighbors. May your house seem different than everybody else's and that they wonder why. And it's because you love the Lord. I pray that this Christmas season, when you look at your Christmas tree, from the star on the top to the presents below, that they each kind of represents the nativity story. The ultimate gift came when Jesus was born. Did you know that if Jesus had not been born, we would have no Christmas? You would have no school holiday break. You'd have to go right through. There'd be two more weeks of school. I know. Kind of a crisis, eh? But because Jesus came, we have Christmas, and we have hope. And I want you to be a hope and a light in our very dark world. And may you see the tree in a different light. I'm going to pray for us, and then you can come get your take-home sheet and a Christmas tree. Please pray with me. Lord, I thank you and praise you for an opportunity that we can so freely speak your word. May our hearts long like David did. May we see this as a dry and weary land, that there are not enough people, Lord, who are celebrating this Christmas with the love and grace and hope that you so desperately want them to have. I pray that every single child that comes through our ministry here would know you in a deep and wonderful way, that you would open up my heart to see their needs and to meet them, but they would also be ready and vulnerable and ready to take you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that we would be like the Christmas tree lights, that they would see something different in each of us and wonder why, and that we could be able to proclaim your gospel so boldly. I thank you for the Christmas trees in our Sioux Falls community. I pray for Angel Tree. I pray for the trees that represent nursing homes and the Children's Hospital and Children's Home Society, Children's Inn, these organizations, Lord, that need our gifts, our help, and our support so badly that we could be a blessing to others and remember how blessed we are. Lord, we love you, and we thank you and praise your name for your wonderful gift in your son, Jesus. Amen. You may meet me over here.